Go to 2 Thessalonians. I realize we just preached through 1 Thessalonians, and then we just preached through 2 Thessalonians. And but I woke up Monday morning and was reading through the Bible, and I got here, and the Lord really gripped my heart again. And he's not allowed me to walk away from that since. And it's just got heavier and heavier. And so I know what that means, that he wants me to share that. It's conceived in me, and the Lord's going to bring it forth tonight. I really just want you to know, church, and this is so simple, okay? There's no profound way for me to tell you this that's gonna wow you in any way. I want you to know tonight the Lord loves you. And I want you to know that you are safe in him. Okay? And I can't say that in a way that's gonna sound new or anything else. But I think if we can leave here tonight knowing and believing that we are safe in him and he loves us, no matter what's going on, okay? That's just, the Lord wants you to know that tonight. So I want to look at this, a few scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2 through verse 5. I want to read them to you. Some of it you've heard. There's one part that really, like I said, the Lord pressed the pause button, and I've been stuck there ever since. And I just feel like I need to share it tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. Paul says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord." Somebody say confidence. Say it again. "We have confidence in the Lord concerning you," or touching you, or regarding you. "We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and in the patient waiting for Christ." Let me just remind you, I know you remember this, that this little church at Thessalonica, they were being persecuted. And furthermore, Paul was being persecuted. And I've said before that that's been so distant to you and I. We've not lived in a place where we've experienced extreme persecution. I think we're getting closer. I do. I believe we're getting closer. But at this time, this was something that they were real familiar with. They felt persecution. And Paul is even saying, if you look at verse 2, and I want you to imagine how scary these words might be if you were a church and the guy that you looked up to. Has anybody got somebody in your life that is a spiritual father or a spiritual mother and you feel like you just need them? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got somebody in my life, and I told him the other day, I was like, "You know what? I've never been this guy, but if you fell away, it would hurt me so bad, because I need you." He's been a father to me in the faith. And so there's people, and so imagine this church. They're hearing a language that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. They knew the history of persecution, and now the people they look to are saying that, you know, "We're trusting the Lord that we'll be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men," knowing that persecution's all around. They lived in a world, and you know what they was thinking about their world? That it is crazy, and it is chaos, and it's falling apart. The same thing you're thinking tonight probably about your world. They felt the same thing. Their world didn't look no better to them than what ours does. You understand that tonight. And so they felt the heat of persecution. And I also can imagine how Paul, after he's telling them this, don't know exactly what all he's going to face. He knew what the Lord told him he was going to experience and what he was going to do. I know that he was concerned about the church. And I feel that. Am I the only one? And I'm not just talking about you. I mean, obviously, always in my ministry, I numbers has not been my goal, but it's been that we are biblical church, and that we come in here and we don't play games and we don't do religious things, but that we really set everything aside and have a heart for God and listen to him. And and we let Christ be the center of it all. I've said for 11 years now that we're word people, right? We're word people. So if the Bible says it, we believe it. We believe in the Word of God. We believe it is still inspired to this day. And so I understand that Paul was concerned about the church, and I know that feeling to always be feel the weight of the spiritual well-being of the church. I mean, Miss Brandy can tell you, when we have service and I don't feel like we've let God do what He wants to do, it'll burden me all day long. I mean, I feel responsible for every bit of it when it happens, you know. Miss Brandy will tell you. I mean, I know I pester her probably saying, well, just tell me what you think about it. And I mean, y'all may go home, but I'm sitting here asking questions for the next hour or two about what did you feel? What did you discern in the service? And what did I miss? I'm always bouncing things off of her. And so I understand Paul's concern. But also, is there anybody else that worries about the direction of the church right now in general? Man, I do. It is so discouraging. Every social media platform, and I look at the progressive movement in the church, and it is sickening to me, and it is so discouraging. And you see more people mocking the Lord and attacking the faith than I've ever seen in my whole life on social media, right? I mean, it is everywhere. It is, and now the culture right now, it is getting to where it is real common that it seems like there's about as many as that think it's a joke is that really believe, you know. I mean, we lived in the Bible Belt. People may not live it, may not be born again even, but they will at least acknowledge that the Bible's true. We've lived in that. I don't even think we live in that no more. You know, I know that this weekend I had a guy come to me, and he said that I failed because my son don't believe in the Lord. He's 16, and he said he don't believe in the Lord no more, you know. And that's just where we are today. And as I've thought about his statement, and I've just watched the direction, and I've caught myself worrying about the church until I read this right here. And this is what Paul says. I'm going to read it again. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Look at verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you. I realized that's where I was missing it. I was putting my confidence in the church, not in the Lord that's married to the church, not in the Lord that has redeemed the church, not in the Lord that has purchased the church. Let me just say it again. The church, it's His church. This church at Neesmith, it is Jesus. It ain't my church. It ain't your church. It is His church. We are a body, and we've been bought with a price. We are His. We are His, and He is faithful. Paul, and I love that Paul says, he says, you know what? I am confident in the fact that the Lord is going to take care of His bride. I know this, the best I know how to, I try to take care of my wife. The best I know how. And there's times that this week even, I sent her a message and told her, you know, sometimes I feel like I could do so much better. You know, I just want to do better, and it's been on me. I just feel like I could be better at 39 than right now than what I was, and I was just talking to her. I know what it's like to have a desire to take care of my wife and my children, and I know you men do as well in here. I know you do. And I just want to say this, that Jesus is going to take care of His bride. And so the tares that come in the building, they're going to go the wrong way. But the true church, the elect, I've got confidence that the Lord's going to take care of His church. Amen. And having said that, let me make it a little more personal. I got confidence. I just felt a little bit of a weight leave that it ain't my responsibility to make sure you're okay. The Lord is going to take care of this church. He's going to take care of this church. And I've got to learn to be confident in Him when it comes to His church. And you as well, we have to learn to be confident in Him when it comes to this church. So Paul says, I'm confident in the Lord. I'm confident in the Lord touching you, concerning you. And when I think of you on an individual basis, you know what I mean? Because pastors do that. I just highlighted that. I'm confident in the Lord regarding you. I can put every one of your names out by that. I am confident in the Lord concerning Rooster, concerning David. He's going to take care of you, right? And so this is so simple, but this is so relieving to me when it comes to everything we're facing in this crazy, chaotic world we live in right now. And we've got to learn to have a little more confidence in Jesus than what we're having. I think the church has failed there. We put all the responsibility on us, and we got to remember that we are His possession, and He's faithful, and He's going to take care of His church. Now, let me just show you this. He says this in verse 3, the Lord is faithful. Somebody say, the Lord is faithful. You need to learn to say that more. You need to learn to every day it needs to roll off your lips out loud. The Lord is faithful. My Lord is faithful. Now, it's interesting to me that the word faithful in the Greek comes from the same, the form of it, pistis, pisteo, is the same when it says, whosoever believes on the Lord, that's pistis, our faith, the Greek word for faith, pisteo. I just want you to know, He's not going to ask you to have faith in Him and not be faithful to you. Okay, my faith may fail. His faithfulness never will. Why? What kind of God would ask you to have faith in Him if He could not provide faithfulness? And I'll even go further to say His faithfulness, it ain't just about you, it's about His character. He ain't God if He ain't faithful. Right? And so He says, the Lord is faithful. And I want to show you four things real quick tonight that the Lord is faithful to do in your life. Okay? With all this crazy stuff going on in this world around us and all the chaos and whatever you're dealing with tonight, the Lord is faithful to do these four things in your life. Are you ready? Number one, you'll remember this. He is faithful to establish you. Let's go back and look at the text together. But the Lord is faithful who shall establish you. The Lord is faithful who shall establish you. Greek word, sterizo. Rooster, you'll remember this because we dealt with it when we walked through 2 Thessalonians. This word is a horticultural term. And it means to tie up a plant that can't support itself until it grows to the place that it can. And you know something about that. I don't. I can't grow nothing. But I'm sure there's times you've had to prop up the plant or tie up the plant and let something support its weight until it could support its own weight. I want you to know God is faithful to support your weight until you can support your weight. He'll hold you up and He'll keep you up in a position that you can grow until you can stand on your own. And then the moment comes that we can no longer stand, He'll prop you right back up. The word means to prop you up. That's good, ain't it? He's faithful to prop you up. You lean on Him. Matter of fact, He'll lean you on Him. We know the proverb says, lean not on your own understanding. But that 2 Thessalonians says that He'll lean you on Him. That He'll prop you up on Him. God is faithful to support you and to stand you up when you can't hold yourself up. I don't know. I know what it's like to feel like a fragile and frail, limp plant that can't hold itself up, that wants to grow but ain't got the strength to support itself. I'm glad to know that God owns me. He possessed me. He purchased me at Calvary. And He's going to prop me up. He's faithful to do that to you. So whatever you're going through tonight, the Lord is faithful to support you and to prop you up. Number two, look at verse 3 again. But the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And keep you from evil. Keep. The Greek word is philosso. And it is a military term, and it means to stand guard. The idea of a soldier standing guard. Now, I need you to envision this. This is what the Lord Jesus is faithful to do in your life. To hold you up when you can't hold yourself up. But He also stands guard over you like a mighty soldier. You understand where Paul is beginning? Somewhere. Paul got a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that began to build a confidence in Him. in these verses. Paul goes to saying, I am confident in the Lord that you're going to do what you need to do and you're going to live like you need to live. I'm not confident in you because I know you'll make a mess of it. I know I'll make a mess of it. But I'm confident in the Lord to work in your life in such a way to bring it out, Paul says. Because somewhere Paul got the revelation that the Lord his God will support his weight when he can't support his own. The Lord his God will stand guard over him and protect him from evil. Somebody say amen. That's good. The Lord is faithful to support you up, to prop you up. He's faithful to stand guard and protect you from evil. Number three, look at verse number 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Kata uthano. It's the Greek word. Kata uthano. Prefix, kata. It means to force in a direction. Uthano means straight path. He'll force you down a straight path. It also translates to escort. I got a lot of things going through my mind right here. First of all, the Lord, he's going to prop me up when I can't hold myself. He's going to stand guard and protect me like a mighty soldier. Number three, he's going to escort me into love. That's good. In a world that's full of hatred and darkness and evil, pain, right? Tribulation, suffering. The Lord will escort you into love. No matter what's going on all around you, internally, he will escort you into love. You know, I got to thinking about when Jesus says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And then I think about this word where it talks about forced down a narrow way, a straight path. That path is straight and it's narrow. It ain't broad, it's straight and it's narrow. And I've always thought about, Lord, there ain't no way I can stay on a straight and narrow path. You know, I've tried. I can't stay. You know, does anybody else feel me there? You know, but what I didn't realize was that straight and narrow path is also the path in which I encounter the love of God. And he'll force. He'll escort. It carries the idea that he will stand side by side and escort me into love. That his agenda for me is this little forceful push in which he's pushing me into love. Just a little bit, just this little force in a direction down a straight and narrow path. But understand the straight and narrow path is a path of love. He is faithful. Paul says, I know I can't have confidence in man. I can't have confidence in works. I can't have confidence in the church or in myself even. But I do know one thing, that I can have confidence in the Lord of the church. Because he'll prop them up, he'll stand guard, and he's always escorting and pushing them just a little bit, nudging them, this force that is pushing them into love. I'm thinking, we're surrounded by it. We got the Father, when you look at the triune Godhead, when you see love displayed, on the inside, Romans says that Holy Spirit is pouring out love inside of me. In communion, Jesus, my Lord, he is pushing me into love and escorting me into love. And then the Father is manifesting love through the giving of his Son. I'm surrounded by it. I've got to quit thinking like I'm surrounded by suffering and persecution and begin to look at truth and reality. When I look on the inside, there's love there. When I look at the Lord around me, he's taking me down the path of love. And when I look at the Father, he is displaying this ultimate love story in which he gave his Son. Amen? And I can have confidence that the church is going to be okay because the Lord of the church has great plans for her and he's committed to her. She may not always be committed to him, but he is always committed to her. It's not only his bride, it's his body. He's going to prop the church up and strengthen her. He's going to stand guard like a mighty soldier protecting her. And he's going to escort her down the path of love. That may not mean a thing to you tonight, but that has meant so much to me concerning you and concerning me. Last one, number 4. Number four. Not only does he force you down this forceful push down a direction of a straight path of love, but if you look at verse 5, and into the patient waiting for Christ. And into the patient waiting for Christ. Hoop amanahe, it means enduring, waiting. Now, here's where it gets really interesting here. Depends on what translation of the Bible you look at. Some will say waiting for Christ. Some will say the endurance of Christ. Which one is it? Because the preposition in the Greek, for and of, is interchangeable a lot of times. Which one is it? I think it's both and. At the same time, simultaneously. What I think he's doing here is Hebrews 12:2. I think, let me turn to it. I want to read it to you. I think the Lord escorts me into endurance. He escorts me into endurance. Let me read you this beautiful verse. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy set before him endured. How many of you know Jesus endured the cross? Through the joy, it didn't feel good. It was painful. He cried in agony in the garden. He did. His sweat turned as if drops of blood. He could go just a little ways and he would fall down. He got up and went another little ways and fell down. Exhausted, overwhelmed. Father, if there is any way, let this cup pass from me. If there's any way. If not, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. It was not easy for him. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have abandoned the plan and he would still been just. The fact that he died for me don't make him just. He was just before he ever died for me. He was good before he ever died for anybody. He was love whether he died for anybody or not. It's who he is. It's his attributes. It's his character. He is God. He displayed it. He didn't owe it to us. He did not owe us that. But he did that. And he endured all that for the joy that was set before him. He's been there before, okay? Hear me when I say that. He's had to endure before. And do you know what he'll do for the church? Times when persecution comes, when hard times come, he will escort her and teach her how to endure. I used to be quick to answer, what if they held a gun to my head and said, if you denounce Christ, then I'll let you live and see your wife and kids. But if you profess him, then you'll watch me kill your kids and wife and you'll never see them again. I used to just be real quick to say, oh yeah, yeah. But then I realized that the flesh is cynical and arrogant at times. And then I began to really search me, Lord, what would I do? I hope I would do that. Lord, I hope. I don't want to think about it. But I hope I could endure such persecution. Because we ain't felt it here. Not like that. I don't know what it's like to be locked up in prison and not watch my children grow up. I don't know. If you got kids, can you imagine? Never, just don't see them again. Ever. Just because you said Jesus is your Lord. Can't imagine. What would I do? You know what? I don't have a lot of confidence in me. But I got a lot of confidence that my Lord in that moment would take me by the hand and escort me into a place of endurance that he displayed at Calvary. Because he is the head and we are the body. He said, I'll be the force that points you in the direction of endurance in these last days. Whatever you're going through, I'll be the one that escorts you and nudges you and pushes you just a little bit down the path that'll bring forth endurance in your life. I think it's both and. I think he escorts us into the endurance of Christ. And as we wait for the Lord, as we wait for Christ, I think it goes hand in hand. That his fellowship, the way he escorts us, it puts us in a position where we are awaiting the coming of our Lord. And also, he escorts us through anything we go through in which we need endurance to go further. I don't got a lot of confidence in me. And you know what? I don't want to hurt your feelings when I say this. I don't got a lot of confidence in you. And it ain't personal. It ain't personal. I've learned that there's nothing in the flesh that we can boast in. And I've worried a whole lot about my insufficiencies as a pastor, or worried about how everything around is affecting you. And you know what? It's just been good to know that I've been putting confidence in the wrong direction this whole time. I'm confident in Him. I'm confident in the Lord that He's going to do these things in our life. He is faithful. Somebody say He's faithful. I just want you tomorrow morning when you wake up to say, Lord, You are faithful. And whatever you got to deal with, know that He's going to support you. He's going to stand guard and protect you. He's going to escort you. And He don't want you to go to tomorrow without encountering His love. You know that? He don't want you. He don't want the sun to come up tomorrow and go down and you not encounter His love. And whatever comes your way, He's going to hold your hand and escort you into whatever endurance it takes. He's faithful. And we can be confident in Him. Amen. Amen. Ms. Brandy, would you play a song? Let's just pray tonight, and before we leave, let's just enjoy our God. Enjoy Him. God wants you to enjoy Him. Do you know that tonight? He wants you to. He gets glory when you enjoy Him. And I also implore you tonight. Let's pray for this lost world. And let's pray for those who are suffering and hurting. Let's pray for those who are in bondage. Let's pray for those who are addicts. Let's pray for those who are deceived. Those who are suppressed and abused. So much hurting. But most of all, for those who don't know the Lord. Enjoy Him tonight, just for a little bit. And let's pray for these needs. Father, move in this place right now. Move in this place right now. Lord, there's people here tonight that need You to escort them down the straight path of love. Some need You to prop them up tonight, God. Lord, move in this place. I want to read you a scripture. Let me turn to it. You keep praying, but I want you to hear this as well. And most of you know it by heart, probably. Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalmist writes, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is the fullness of joy. In Thy presence is the fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He wants you to enjoy Him tonight. read you another one. John 15. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He wants you to enjoy Him tonight. Father, move. God, I'm confident in you tonight that you're going to do in your church exactly what she needs. God, she's your bride. She's yours. Lord, you paid it all for her. Lord, I am confident in you tonight. Lord, we stand in your faithfulness tonight. Lord, you are good. Lord, and your faithfulness supersedes any force that comes against us. Your faithfulness. Let me read you another one. Psalm 34, 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. The place where you can partake of Him is in a position where you trust Him. He's faithful tonight. You want to taste the goodness of God? You just begin to trust in Him. You trust in Him. I promise you this. You trust in Him and you will taste His goodness. He wants you to enjoy Him tonight. He wants to walk you down narrow aisles that lead to great love. He's going to bring out an endurance in you that you had no idea was there. No idea. He's faithful. God, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My God, my God, my God. Lord, you are so good. I thank you, Lord. Through faith, Lord, I can say my God and claim ownership. Lord, you said you would be our God and we would be your people and you would walk in our midst. And Lord, when I think about that, I echo what I believe is in Psalms, and I believe it's also in Hebrews. I think the writer says, what is man that thou art mindful of us? Lord, you're good tonight. You're faithful tonight. And Lord, we don't deserve none of it. I've not did nothing to merit it. Lord, I have did nothing to earn it. There's nothing in me that's so appealing that makes you want to pour out your faithfulness, Lord. Lord, you picked a nation called Israel. And you yourself said that you picked Israel not because they were the biggest, not because they were the strongest, not because they were the wealthiest. But Lord, you picked them so that you could show the nations how good you are. And Lord, it is there that we begin to understand exactly what it is you're doing in us as individuals. You give us your goodness so that you can show those in darkness who you are. We thank you tonight, God. Lord, we pray for the lost. God, there's so many. Lord, that mock your name. They discount your existence. They shake their fist at you. They raise their voice at you. They laugh at you. Lord, there's millions in other religions, Jesus, that calls you a prophet and nothing more. Lord, they are not our enemy. That made themselves enemy of yours. Lord, you've sent us, God, to reach out to them. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that our light would shine bright. Lord, that we would be salt in the earth. Lord, we pray for a reaping, God. We pray for salvation, Lord. We pray for revival, Lord. I think about phrases in Acts. In Acts, where it says, as many as the Lord added into the church was saved. Lord, help us remember, God, that we're to be faithful with the message, but God, you're the Savior. You was the Savior then, you was the Savior when you saved me, and you'll be the Savior tomorrow. Lord, it's you that adds to the church. Lord, I pray we'll be obedient in the mandate, God, in the commission, Father. Lord, that we'll wave the banner of Christ high and we'll share the gospel. Not because we're good enough, God, but because you're good enough, Lord, that we'll share the gospel. And men and women and children, Lord, will come to know you in the free pardon of sin and be born again into a new living creation. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll use our hands and our words, our disposition, our mannerisms to love our fellow man and minister to those in need, God. Lord, that we'd be mindful of the hungry, that we'd be mindful of the poor, we'd be mindful of the incarcerated, that we'd love our enemies. Lord, I pray that you would compel us to go after a purpose that is so much greater than ourselves. And Lord, I pray that you help us know that if we share the gospel, somebody will be saved. It's a guarantee. You say the fields are ready. Wide in the heart, they're ready for harvest. The problem is there's no laborers. Lord, you're telling me, God, that if laborers will rise up, there will be harvest. So, Lord, I pray that we'll share the gospel knowing that if we do it enough, it's a guarantee that there will be harvest. People will be saved. Help us to not worry about what anybody thinks when we share it, God. If we're going to offend them, what we ought to know by now, it's the truth that offends. The truth is offensive unless we receive it and believe. And Lord, we don't want to be tares, Lord. We want to be wheat, God. We want to be the true church. The true church. Not defined by a building and a steeple and a covenant on the wall, but defined by grace. Do it in us, God. Lord, I pray for every need in this building. I stretch forth my hand over everybody in this room, Lord, knowing, God, that they have needs. Everybody in this room has some need. Lord, everybody in here has a need tonight. Some are very well aware. Some are not aware at all. But God, I pray for them tonight. Lord, you're sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. Lord, you are the great I am. Lord, you've already met every need. Lord, we're confident in you. Let me read you one more verse. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Jesus is your answer. Whatever you're going through, that's where you'll find it. Our Lord. Thank you, God, for being here with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us in this place tonight. Thank you, God, for indwelling our hearts. Thank you, God, for manifesting your presence in the assembly. Thank you, Lord, for every prayer that you've answered, every broken heart that you're going to mend, for souls that will be saved, for needs that will be met, for love that will be known. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, bless us as we leave this place tonight. Again, it's been good to be here, and we look forward to Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. Hearts and minds clear tonight. Has anybody got anything before we leave? Be free if you do.